The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does. Does. I can't hear your microphone there, buddy.
I can hear you.
Can you?
Yeah.
Can you hear his microphone, Leo?
Can you hear me now?
You can?
Can't hear you.
Can't hear you.
Your ears
though,
are
well, I didn't have my microphone.
There he is.
You gotta get a little closer to the mic, yeah. But I can crank your gain.
That's all right. Thank you.
That was Liam. He's our producer. Good morning, everybody. Terry Raposa, my partner, Wynn Carpenter, and Liam, our producer. We are here with Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. If you want to listen on the computer, you certainly can, because we stream worldwide. We also archive. You can listen in at KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. And the phone number here is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And we are here with Patrick and his better half, Lori Jones. How are you two this morning?
Very good. Thank you guys for having me on.
Interesting week last week, so I'm just going to turn it over to you, Patrick, and give us the lay of the land there, buddy.
Well, it was kind of a long week, but it was a good week. We had an election, obviously, and locally here, you know, we had six races that were finally contested instead of just having candidates run unopposed, which is usually what happens. We finally had people step up and, had good candidates and good debates and allowed the public to have some choices for a change. And I think, all said and done, it exposed a lot of things in different offices and different areas that will hopefully be addressed in the future. And the ballots are still being counted. I think there's still 16,000 out there, so none of these races are complete yet. It will most likely take another week or so. July 7th is the actual date for completion. Hopefully it doesn't go that long, but still more ballots to be counted. And at this point, it looks like the most likely scenario is of the various races, the two supervisor races, which are obviously important to me, being a Shasta County supervisor, will move on to runoffs in November, which is what I had to do in 2020. I was able to be the top vote getter in the primary, but I didn't get 50%, so that moves on. And basically the slate is wiped clean, and you get to start all over again and prepare for another campaign. And so I think both Chris Kellstrom ran a very good campaign and Kevin Cry, and so I think both of those, District 5 and District 1, will move on to November. And so that's something to be looked, the voters have that opportunity to vet those two candidates a little bit further and their opponents a little bit more too. Okay. And obviously this time we had some different committees and PACs, if you will, local committees. We had the Liberty Committee that supported the non-establishment candidates. And then you had Sierra Pacific Foundation and the Pascana tribe putting a bunch of money into the Shasta Votes PAC and supporting the incumbents and or the establishment candidates, and so we had had some money there, and there was a lot written, I guess, about the Liberty Committee because their major donor was Reverge Anselmo, and everybody knows the situation with Reverge being here for 7 or 8 years and not treated well and eventually left this area. But he still has an interest in this area, but no financial interest. He's not coming back. back. He's not. He doesn't own any property here, anything like that. Sierra Pacific Foundation, on the other hand, an organization that's billions of dollars. You know what? I guess the question never was asked. What interest do they have at the board level that would be so important to them to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars? Now we know the Pascana tribe is trying to block any progress on the Redding Rancheria's relocating to I-5. But what is Sierra Pacific and the people that they're supporting? What at the county level? What is the significance there? And I think in the next few months, a thorough investigation will most likely take place, possibly even a documentary, as to why they would need so much influence at the county board, and what does that mean. And I'm still not certain why the influence was necessary. Not sure yet, but we're gonna hopefully be talking about that and try to vet that to see what's so important, because it's not obvious, obviously. Otherwise,
well, it does lead to the fact that the Secretary of State of the state of California sent a representative to Shasta County. Now, what about the other counties? But specifically being sent here. And the thing I find interesting is that the establishment candidates were all, quote, except for one, Republicans. So why would a Democratic-leaning, mm-hmm. hard-left Secretary of State send someone here to look over the election? Maybe some of that ties in with the reason why Emerson and Sierra Pacific is so interested in what's going on. It seems to me like there's some – you always go back to the money. You know, there's got to be something there for somebody, somehow, some way.
You mean being worth billions of dollars isn't worth it?
Well, you know, what's enough, right?
Yeah, what is enough?
Yeah, how do you live on it?
Well, and I was, pretty happy. Obviously, I liked the non-establishment candidates. I didn't endorse anyone. I think all the people that ran in these races, can speak for themselves and did well campaigning and... but I was very impressed with really all of them stepping up, taking on some tough challenges. It's not easy taking on an incumbent.
Oh, yeah.
And with the exception of John Green, none of these individuals had ran a campaign before. And so they're running a campaign in a fairly short amount of time up against entrenched incumbents. And you can see the political machines that are out there, the local medias and the mainstream medias are all propping up the established incumbents. And so they had an uphill battle for sure. And it's difficult for the public to know what really is the truth, because when you read things and you see things printed, you tend to want to believe that that's true. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, with what we've got, usually the opposite is the case.
Well, they want to believe the media, but the media doesn't lend itself to be believed.
Absolutely. Like at one article I saw where they said, the Liberty Committee is picking people by gender because their candidates happen to be all males. And my response was, when I saw that, was I said, I really don't think gender had anything to do with it. I said, but how come all the establishment candidates are all females? Maybe they're picking them by gender too. Of course, they're not all female, but
Now, that depends. we're talking about Disney World here.
But 4 out of 6 were female. Were they picking by gender? One could argue that, but they try to make something out of nothing,
right?
And it's difficult to find people that are ready to step up for these difficult specific jobs, and whether they're men or women. We had quite a few women that we actually asked to run, various people throughout the community had been asking, and just no one had stepped up, right now. Wasn't the time right now.
Right.
And I remember back in 2012, they asked me if I was ready to run for assembly, and I said, no, I'm not ready. And in 19, I said, well, I'll give it a try, you know. And so there's times where, you know, you're just not ready to run.
Right.
Not everything is in, it's a difficult challenge and debating and putting a lot of miles on. And, you know, and so you got to get the right time. Most people tend to run when someone is stepping down. And like in the case of District 5, Les Baugh is stepping down. And so you had five people running in that race. And so that would be a more typical scenario. With the DA's race, most people don't take on a sitting DA. That's going to be a difficult challenge. And Eric Jensen did a great job, and he really exposed a lot of issues and things that have been brewing for quite some time.
And more to come because of that.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not over yet.
No, not at all.
We will get to that. And, you know, election night, obviously, when those first numbers came in, it didn't seem right to me. You know, I've watched a few of these elections here over the last 20 years, and it just seemed like what they did, the information they had, the quality of candidates that they were being able to reach informed and uninformed voters did not seem like those first numbers would. They should have, to me, have been quite close. We felt these races were going to be close, and those mm-hmm. first numbers didn't indicate that. And so then there's some doubt. I'm not saying that there's any wrongdoing, but you know, it does put a doubt in your mind when you see those numbers. And of course, we now have an all mail ballot, you know, where all these ballots are being mailed out.
Yeah.
And is harvesting going on, or anything out of Sacramento going on? It just puts more doubt out there, and it's every election cycle, it's becoming more difficult for the public to trust.
Right.
What they see, we're just having a difficult, things aren't adding up with all these ballots out there. And so really, hopefully, one thing that we can do after this election is just really, you know, have an audit and go through it and really, really take a look at it and, you know, and really start trying to dissect and just to make sure to try to restore some trust with the public
right.
in that everything was done correctly. And I think we should do that more and more to try to get our hands around trusting the system that we have or whatever system that we may have in the future, because it's certainly a big issue in the United States right now, and it seems to be an issue in Shasta County. There were a lot of eyes on this race. You know, this had national attention. Mm-hmm. And after the Modi recall, a seemingly impossible task was accomplished, it got Shasta County some notoriety, and a lot of people were watching. And so we just want to make sure that elections are fair and transparent. Now, our ROV, our Register of Voter, Kathy Allen Darling, ran on the platform of transparency. And that has to be the number one issue, is to be open and transparent and allowing our observers to look at every opportunity. And I think, you know, in the next couple hours here, I think you'll start seeing kind of what unfolded the night of and the day after of what kind of transparent ROV do we have.
Right.
And that might you know, either help or hurt the process, but we need to have transparency, and she certainly ran on that, and we're just gonna make sure that that's the case, you know,
and
so
customer service.
Yes, yeah. You know, one of the things that we want to mention here is that we're gonna do something a little differently today, and you need to let your friends and neighbors know about the programs we're having. All 3 hours are devoted to this particular storyline. Also, next hour, we're going to have Katie and Arthur Gorman, who were involved in observing what was going on as far as the ballots go and everything else. That's our second hour. Our third hour is John Knight, who spent the night there. And I know, Lori, you had some conversation with him. And I know you've been over here, you know, the wheels are turning in there. So tell us what you have, girl.
Yeah, the night of, there was a lot of, people were upset, and they said, again, talking Kathy Darling Allen about transparency, and customer service, right? How that's how good they are, how polite they are, how what good service they do. Well, we're getting calls early in the morning where they're not being so polite. Things like even wanting to tape the door and excuses like restrooms won't be accessible, so we can't do that. But yet, they taped it during the Modi. And if you really want to be transparent and trustworthy and give that customer service, it's a simple act. You know, why would you not? That's my question. Why would you not do that? Something so simple, and the people there would be great. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. See you in the morning.
So now what Lori's talking about is at the ROV, when the ballots come in and people are going to go home for the night, they all go into one room so that they're all in one location and secured and locked. And then that door is sealed and signed so that when workers come in the morning with the observers, that you can see that that room is not been tampered with through the night. And it's just typical protocol during an election cycle. And the observer can see it, that no one's come in the night. It's still signed and sealed. And then the door can be open and the work can begin. Simple things like that. And so the night of the election, the ballot room was not sealed and signed. And so, again, we're not saying that there's corruption here, but you usually try to err on the side of caution and do those things. And in this case, it wasn't done.
That goes back to your point of transparency, too, right?
Right. And then, you know, for the morning after the election, that Wednesday morning, we had an observer there all through the night, both front and back of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And county workers then started to appear slightly after 7 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday morning. The observer, who is an official trained observer, asked to accompany them. And that observer was told, no, get an attorney. And the door was shut. And so county workers were inside the building without any observers. And this is firsthand knowledge. In fact, that particular gentleman will tell his story later.
11 o'clock.
Right, later today.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not being transparent. And so, again, now it goes to show how are we to, you know, trust our system when you're not letting an observer go in. This same gentleman then came around to the front of the building, and at 8 o'clock, the front of the building was opened. And Kathy Allen Darling told him that you'll be able to observe at 10:30 when they start working on the ballots. And he had asked, are the ballots out of the room? And she said, yes. And he goes, I'm going to them. And he went to them. And so the ballots were already out of the room. County workers were working, you know, with those boxes with no observation. And again, these are the kinds of stories that you're going to be hearing in others where this
direct
is not
from the source.
Right, and these will be firsthand, not from me, secondhand. But, you know, that's not helping transparency. Then to compound the matters, the ROV herself would not recuse herself and take a couple weeks vacation because she is a candidate. She could have easily done that. There are plenty of people there to run the elections office. But again, by her demanding and staying there, it's not making everything look as transparent. We're not erring on the side of caution. And those are the types of things that compound the problem of trying to restore the trust with the voters. And I've been talking about it for over a year now.
Sure.
Especially with Dominion voting machines to
yes.
compound all of that.
Yes. We do have a caller on the line. Jimmy, how are you, my friend? What say you?
Hey, I'm just wondering, with everything I'm hearing now, them not sealing the room and all that stuff, is that grounds for a recall? And that's just my quick question, and I'll take my answer on the air.
Thank you, buddy.
Well, I think over the next week or so, a variety of different things are going to be looked into. And again, we just want to make sure that we have a fair, transparent election. You know, I've been a candidate many times. I've won and I've lost. And the times that I've lost, you know, I got beat. And, you know, that's you know, your opponent works harder than you. And I knew it, right? When you get beat by an opponent that just worked harder, you know it. I'm not sure that is the feeling we have right now. And we just want to make sure that the process was correct. There was no outside influences the night of or the day after or from Sacramento. We just want to make sure that we have fair and transparent elections. And it will take a little forensic work because of these mail-in ballots. For example, not saying this is what happened, but this is a scenario now that you have to start thinking about. We know on a primary election how many people in the last several cycles of a primary have roughly voted each cycle. And we had more this time. And that's okay. Maybe with all these candidates advertising, maybe that got more people to fill out their ballots, and maybe because they're mailed out to everybody at home now, which is new from, say, in the past, but maybe that's what got more people to participate in a primary election. Maybe. So what we would like to do is take a look at the last couple cycles, see who hasn't been voting, who is a registered voter and a resident of Shasta County, who hasn't been voting in the primaries, and see if they voted this time, and then make contact with those people just to make sure that, in fact, that the ballot that's got their name on it was, in fact, a ballot that they sent in, that it wasn't done by some outside source. And if those were mailed in, you know, from Sacramento, no one would know the wiser. And the ROV here would not have any inclination that there'd be any wrongdoing whatsoever. The address is correct. The signature matches. We only have one character that you have to identify on a signature. It's a registered voter. It runs through the machine. It's counted. And
it used to be five, correct, for identification?
Used to be five characters. Now it's only one. So the copying of a signature is easier to do today. It's a possible scenario when you send out a ballot to every single person. We roughly in Shasta County had maybe 70,000 ballots that were out there that did not get mailed in. And so that creates some possible wrongdoing. We just want to double check that and make sure that we had a fair election, that it was open and transparent. And I think when we can prove that, I think everybody should be on board of let's prove it.
Well, you know, you made a lot of good points, especially about, Sacramento. I mean, they were interested enough to send a representative from the Secretary of State's office. That was interesting. But the other thing that we have to look at is the statistics you're talking about, and those will be available probably by the second hour of next program. I've seen things to where we had, I think, what is the Democrat base of voters here in the county? Is it like 25%?
That's roughly correct, yeah.
Okay, and I've seen that statistically 32% of them voted. So I'm kind of wondering about that aspect. There's a lot of different statistics that are coming up. Of course, they need to be verified like everything else. But it does lead you to believe that things weren't totally on the uppity up. And the position of Kathy Darling Allen, when our guest on the second hour went inside and asked the question, hey, I need to observe here. She said, well, and I need the people's names over here. She said, well, if you need those, you need to go get a lawyer. So there was the people that were actually working in their county, which it should be public knowledge. You know, I'm just saying there's so many different things that have happened there that aren't transparent. Now, somebody had asked about a recall situation, and that could be something down the road. And, of course, if the numbers hold up and people are elected, we have to wait 3 months after that. But I think that the more we research this, the more I think we're going to find, at least in my opinion, a skunk in the wood pile.
Well, a recall is something that is granted to us as a Californian under the California Constitution. Recall is an option. We just saw that with Leonard Modi. However, if anyone is going to attempt it, they're very difficult, and it's not an easy process. And so I think we're a long way from that. But the main thing is we need to restore trust that everybody – I've – you know, and I – I did not support the contract for the Dominion voting machine that did pass in Shasta County. I did not support it, and I talked to a representative from Dominion, and you know, and I asked both him and our ROV, you know, how are you going to restore my trust and my faith in these systems, because I have some doubts, and half the country has some doubts. Mm-hmm. And there was no answers given to that, and they took offense to it, to be honest.
So they just looked blank-faced at you, and that was it? They didn't respond?
Yeah, and they were harsh in their responses, and they did not restore any trust with me. In fact, it further eroded my trust, and everything we should be doing, we should be showing to the public at every step of the way and showing off how well we do.
Exactly.
And
with
not
pride, showing how well we do it.
Right. And, right. And that way you eliminate any possibility, and everybody's saying it is exactly the way that it should be.
It should be clean.
Right.
And everybody can see that. Doesn't matter what party you're in or what side of the fence you're on, you can see with the stats and the information that it's true and it's right.
And it's a problem in government in a lot of places, not just in ROV. I'd called a couple years ago. I was looking into some Pittman Robinson funds, and these are collected up by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and then they're dispersed with all the states. And so I started calling a variety of different states. They didn't have the information as to how they were spending those funds on a PDF form. One state did, and but I would call different states like Pennsylvania and North Carolina and ask them, and their response was, well, who are you with? And I said, I'm not with anybody. I'm just asking how you're using these Pittman Robinson funds. And I said, you should have had them on a PDF file online so people can go look at it and see how you're using them, and you should be able to show off with how well you're using public funds.
Right, right.
And all I got was, well, who are you with? And that would take a lot of time to do that. and state after state after state after state were all doing that.
Wow.
Not showing where the money's being spent. You had to hunt and dig and pry and poke and call back many times to try to get them to finally send you some information. And that's the type of thing that we don't want in our ROV office. We want you can't just send out a flyer and say you're going to be transparent.
Right.
You have to do it.
You have to do it.
And that's
proof is in the pudding there. You have to show it.
Right. Well, with that, we do have a caller on the line. Betty, what say you?
Yes. I just want to let you know I have a daughter that lives off of Placer on J Street. She didn't receive her ballot until the Friday before the election.
Interesting.
Well, we had others that didn't receive their ballot at all, and they had to go down to the precinct and
get it.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if she called or what, but I think she's in the redistrict. When they redistrict the area, I think she's in that area, but I'm not sure. But she says, Mom, I just got this thing on Friday, and she's filling it out on Monday.
Yeah.
So I think, and she just took it down the street and put it down there, but I wondered how many hundreds of other people didn't get it at all, or, you know.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Those are all unknown. And redistricting, you know, really confused a lot of people this year.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, even Carl Bott from KCNR was unaware that he was now moved into District 2 from District 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to several of the redistricting meetings. There was 12 altogether, forms and such. And there were people there commenting. They act like there was nobody there. There were people there commenting. From that commission, they took the information, and the Register of Voters then created two maps based off of that. And the first two maps were appropriate, and one particular map would have dislocated extremely few people from their historical districts and satisfied the laws of redistricting. Redistricting might occur every 10 years if your population increases or decreases. You may have to change your lines so that each five districts are the same in population. So in the last 10 years, Shasta County has only grown 3,000 people, so very little adjusting needed to occur.
Okay.
My only question that I had, along with a few other people, was that there were some lines that were difficult to follow the reasoning They'd come down, and then they'd have a little bulge out, and then go down. And
you mean gerrymander?
Something was
there is that
some reason why some lines weren't identifiable. People should easily be able to follow a road, a river. Something identifiable.
Some sort, yeah.
Now we realize there's water districts and there's fire districts that then they follow those district lines and they're not going to follow a road. So we needed to verify those. But map A and B, if you will, from the redistricting process, those were appropriate maps. By the end of that, the ROV, particularly Joanna Francisca, the number two there, come up with map F, I believe, which dislocated, I believe, 40,000 people. Everybody out of Happy Valley, for example, was dislocated. Half of Igo Ono was cut in half. Many people in District 1 are now in District 2. Created a monster mess. And there was at least 5 complaints on that map that day, more than any other map. And they refused to listen to any of the people, and they refused basically the entire process of meeting 12 times. They threw it out the window. That's your ROV office at work.
And that's the map that was used?
And that's the map that was adopted.
Well, map F is very appropriate for what happened to those people.
But that's, you know, that doesn't help transparency when the Register of Voters pushes such map.
Right.
And dislocates a huge amount of people, and it had nothing to do with the 12 previous meetings that the commission is required to do by law. And then they take credit for the redistricting process.
Wow.
I was appalled. I didn't approve that. It passed anyways. It also, at the same time, amazingly, because we were approaching a recall of Leonard Modi, District 2, it moved 3 of the 4 of his opponents out of their own district.
Wow.
And in fact, as Tim Garman was elected, he has to now move in 2 years to get back into his district if he wants to say
so. He was part of the map effed.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
The
effed
map.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you know, when you can't make this stuff up.
Right. I mean, it's just, you know, and so we go through that and, you know, and we, you know, I went to several of the redistricting meetings, but like Carl here, for example, he's a typical what I call uninformed voter, and you know, he's just not. You know, it was on the radio, it was on the TV. We had 12 meetings. He's moved out of his district, and he never came forward. Now, obviously, most of the county didn't come forward or recognize the significance of what would happen. But then, come election time, that's when you start. Then people start figuring out, hey, I wanted to vote in District 1 race.
Yep.
Well, but you don't live in District 1 now.
You live in
District somewhere else.
Yeah. Somewhere else.
You know, like, you know, and it's just frustrating that these types of things occur.
Mm-hmm.
Because really you would have to sue now. Now, Butte County, they had a similar problem over there, and they are suing the ROV right now.
Okay.
Over that, and
the county is suing the ROV.
There's a suit being brought by a group for the ROV because of how these lines were done. And
okay,
it
so it's a private group suing the
ROV. I believe
ROV.
So. Yeah.
Okay, when you say county, it's like, wait a minute, the county's suing their own.
Well,
ROV.
Residents, yeah. Residents yeah. are suing.
That would be our money.
It is always our money.
It's always our money.
But
well, you would think that an ROV that, you know, got, what'd she get, like a 38% boost in her salary, so she got a $42,000 raise on top of what she was already making.
Are we talking about Kathy Darling Allen? Just to be clear
to people
on the air, you know, that are out there.
Wouldn't you think that they would be well-versed and want to do the right thing and make sure everything's going like it should be instead of just padding the, you know, she's going to retire. She's probably, God forbid she wins, but if she does, she's going to retire in 2 years, midterm.
Well, I have not asked her.
That's what's going to happen.
I haven't asked her
every single time.
But
we have been becoming an appointed county, haven't we?
We have.
We certainly have.
No. With the right board, no longer.
Well, but the good news here is that, you know, if, like in the ROV's office, for example, if there was some sort of medical issue to come up or a retirement or something, you know, we have a person now that had ran a race alongside her. And so you have an option that you didn't have before because it's been, you know, quite a while where you had a serious contender for that office or any other office, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good sheriff's race, and, you know, if he were to leave earlier, we have an opportunity to appoint someone that ran in the race, that actually ran for a change. And
kind of like what happened last time. Well, three times ago, whatever it was.
So out of all this, the good news is that we had a lot of people step up. And, you know, and only about half of the county races were contested, right? So many of the others were not. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of attention happened to be on these six. But the reality was there are just as many others that, you know, no one stepped up for those. You saw those when you voted. There was only one person on the ballot.
Yeah.
And so there's no discussion. How's the job doing? Are we doing a good job? What's happening? The public is pretty much unaware of all those.
Right.
And so all in all, we were able to have some good debates and good forums, bring some things up. And I suspect in the ROV's office, that was part of the issue, too. You know, in the last couple of years, people are taking more of an interest now of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking more of an interest of what's happening at the elections office. We've always just kind of...
They're learning how it affects them.
Correct.
I mean, by how the votes turn out directly affects you. And, you know, with your board of supervisors, with your city council, doesn't matter, your sheriff, deputy, DA, good grief. I mean, all those, it affects you directly.
And I think moving forward, you know, hopefully we'll see some changes there to improve transparency. Mm-hmm. and some security, new security issues taken. I think we've exposed some problems at the ROV's office as far as how ballots come in, where they go, having them properly secured. I think some talk about that in the next year will most likely occur as well. So these things at least have brought issues forward that would never have come forward before. Mm-hmm. And again, we want to be proactive,
right,
and make sure things run smooth and not have a problem and then have to act after the fact. And so by making some improvements there, restoring trust, getting back to where we were, because I'd never had any trust issues, you know, years ago. I didn't. Mm-hmm. And I do today.
Right.
And I don't like that. I don't want that. I want to feel like, everybody's vote that was correctly done counted.
Mm-hmm.
Those that,
was counted properly.
Were counted correctly. Mm-hmm. And those that were not, you know, in their district or whatever, would be rejected. I want to feel like, when you won, and when you lost, you lost. And, you know, and I've done as much losing as I've done winning. And it's okay to lose, because that's in every contest, there will be a winner and a loser. That always is going to happen every time. And you just need to know it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it because of what your competitor did more than you did.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know it. And then you can have at least some comfort in that, knowing that I just got beat. That's all. You know,
yeah.
Nothing else. I just got beat.
Right.
They worked harder. They raised more money. They got better advertising. You know, they had good issues. They were hustling. They did more events. I got beat. Right. And then you can sleep good at night, you know, and then it also drives you to either quit or I've got to do more.
Right.
And then next time around, you work harder at it. That's what I did. I lost my first two races, but each time I worked harder and harder. And
well, you get smarter because you learn what you fell short on and you address those issues. And hopefully, you know, you're going to have some others that kind of stack up on you. But as you proceed, you learn what to do and how to do it.
Yeah.
And do it right and make it effective and hopefully garner the votes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that a lot of this, too, is that there's so many things that have gone on that are nefarious and oddities. I mean, just all these different alleged illegalities. And, you know, you can't help but, as you say, not trust the establishment at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen an election like this before. I've never seen all these things happen like they did this time before. A lot of the debates were standing room only, people standing outside, listening to these debates,
mm-hmm.
talking to people after. I mean, a lot of the debates between Eric Jensen and Stephanie Bridget, her whole fan base basically were people who worked for her.
Yeah.
And her whole campaign was about the people that she works with and that work for her are loyal to her, and that she supports them and they support her. But what about the public? I mean, when you run for a public exactly. office, that's your position. And I think, Patrick, for you, when you ran for supervisor, it was evident that you were popular and you were representing all the people in what happened with your assembly run. You actually won your assembly run mm-hmm. in Shasta County.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I had a lot of fun in that. And, you know, I just could not, the amount of funds that I raised, was good, for a county or two. Unfortunately, there's almost 10 counties in District mm-hmm. 1 for the assembly. But mm-hmm. I met a lot of great people, learned a lot of good issues, found out that a lot of the counties in the north here are very similar to us. And they're all, you know, hungry for leadership. And everywhere you go, and we've really seen that in the last 2 years, people are really wanting better leadership. And it's our job to be able to reach them. And as candidates, that's what we have to do. We have to reach our audience better and do a better job of getting out and letting people know you have choices. Here's what's currently happening. Here's what I believe are options for change. And, you know, and so we just have to work harder at it. We've been a little bit asleep at the wheel, if you will, and the public is waking up, and candidates are rising up, and they feel compelled. I look at Eric Jensen and that race, and that he just was compelled to run. Mm-hmm. He just felt it was the right time. He was such a great candidate and a great speaker, and he had a good patriot. And boy, when people listen to him talk, he picked up votes every day.
Every time.
He's a statesman.
Yeah.
He is. He truly is a statesman. He knows how to... He knows how to talk to people, and he says the truth, and he holds himself accountable, and he holds others accountable. You know, hey, you know, if it isn't right, he addresses it.
Well, you know, one thing we talk about a lot is the uninformed voter, and I think out of all the commercials, all the ads that I've heard any candidate do, I think Chris Kellstrom was amazing. Mm-hmm. He could take 30 seconds and talk about an issue like fire, talk about an issue like water, talk about an issue like transparency, and he could actually come up with a solution that he could give the folks in 30 seconds, not platitudes, I'm a great guy, you know, I was this, I was that, I love my kids, don't you love your kids, and did I say I love my kids? So the thing is that when you have someone like Chris, that I thought those ads were brilliant, and Eric's ads were good too, but you're right about the debates with Eric Jensen. I mean, it was clear that every single debate he was involved in, he won hands down, and certainly was the more likable candidate.
Yeah, you know, and Chris will get to do this again in November, and I know that's frustrating because I've had to do it.
Yes.
And in the end, when you're successful and have worked hard for it, it'll be more meaningful in the end. And you know, Chris is good at raising funds, and so he'll be back at it again, you know, raising more funds and getting out there and hustling. And, you know, his ads, he did all his own ads.
Yeah.
He just spoke. You know, that's just Chris. That's how he thinks. Yep. That's how he feels. He's down to earth and get to it kind of guy. He's not a bureaucrat. He's not a politician. He believes in two term limits. He'll be there 2 terms, whether that passes or not. He'll stay for 2, and then he'll be gone and let the next guy have a chance. And it'll motivate him to get as much done in that time period. And that's kind of what we need to get back to. And so I didn't find much fault with Chris Kellstrom and what he was attempting to do, and I think the public responded very well.
Oh, yeah.
That was a crowded race, and, you know, and if it had come down to just the top 2, Chris would have won that outright, which is what I expected. He reached the voters quite well with the messages, and it came right from his heart. He was not just saying stuff to get elected. You know, a lot of people do that. I've seen that so many times. We can say anything we want, and then when it comes time to do it, where are you?
Yeah.
Right. And that's not the way Chris is. You know, he says stuff, he means it, he'll follow through, he'll take on whatever needs to be, you know, taken on. Mm-hmm. And you know, so I look forward to seeing him on the board come January. I think I think South County is going to be very fortunate to have him.
Oh, absolutely.
And ran a good race. He's going to run another good race. And he did it all by telling people what he believed needs to be done. No attacks, mm-hmm. no nastiness, just straightforward, here's what I think, and do you think like I think, you know. And so that's the kinds of races that I really like. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that the DA race got a little nasty. It was probably the most nasty of the
races. It wasn't the candidates. It was supporters of the opposition.
Yeah.
You know, well, the Bridget's staff members are the ones, especially two of them, have been horrendous on social media, putting everything out there, and they're out-and-out lies.
Yep.
They truly are lying, and they're professing to be good Christians. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, there were some comments even of things that I've said that were lies within that race, and you know, that's unfortunate when they go to that level. Let's focus in on the issues. You know, what really is her felony conviction rate? Because at one of her debates, she said, I don't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's talk about that. If you don't care about your felony conviction rate, maybe that's why it's quite low.
Yeah.
And what does that mean for Shasta County?
Well, let's talk about that just for a second. And that is that as of June, the DA's office, Bridget, had only filed 800 cases. Now, compared to past years, in that time frame, there's been 3,000 to 4,000. So, you know, my thinking is, you know, if you don't go ahead, you only file those cases that you think you can win. I mean, you're looking at 800 instead of 3,000 to 4,000.
Yeah.
So if you're going to file something, you certainly don't want to file the ones you can't win. And right. Looks like we have Richard on the line. How are you doing, Richard?
Well, she did file the case about spilt water.
So she did. She filed the case on Carlos Zapata.
That's right.
Using three of her assistant DAs, and she only has 27, and they're so overworked.
And they didn't actually win that case the way they brought it forward.
Well, I think anybody that spills water on anybody else is a menace to society. Richard, what say you?
Good morning. I just want to congratulate all three of you. Tara, if it hadn't have been for you and Wynn, I don't think Supervisor Jones would have been as successful as he's proven to be. You started years ago. You did all the hard work. And you were the two people, mostly on local radio, that started this thing, as far as I know. And Mr. Jones spoke clearly. He never temporized by ums and ahs like some former president always does. And he didn't. Eric Jensen never had a problem with his trachea closing, unlike the other person. And this is consistent. She wasn't getting over a cold or some respiratory infection. And I had a law enforcement or quasi-law enforcement position in West Los Angeles where people were doing a lot of stuff, millions of dollars. And they always did that, too, always. The trachea would close up, and they'd always have to clear it every 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So I knew right off who was telling the truth.
Well, I know that she did mention at one point at a debate, she tells him, telling Eric Jensen, you know, you can't just cut in line. You know, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Richard, that's the thing. I mean, you can't make that up. And the other thing is,
not the Politburo.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, her base was were the people who work for her. And, again, who would run against a sitting DA, especially one that is known to be a little bit vindictive? Who would run against them that work for her? Who would run against her? I mean, what would be the ramifications of that? I mean, your pucker factor would be up about 11.
No. All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
You know, and I do appreciate both Terry and Wynn. You guys have worked long and hard on getting other types of information out that you're not going to see in channel, you know, on Channel 7 or Record Searchlight. And I don't know how many years you guys have been at it, but it's been decades.
It's been a while.
You know, it's been a long time fighting the good fight. And you know, when you have different sources of information that are out there, it gives people a choice, and then they can start to do their own homework. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think if we didn't have the radio programs and guys working as hard as you guys do, then all we have is the local mainstream media, and look where that has got us.
Well, and that's the thing, too. That's partly why we went to the the podcast as well.
Right, on Mountaintop Media.
MountaintopMedia.com, we have our podcast, and we record those on Monday, and we shoot them out on Monday. And we bring in all, we brought in every candidate. We invited the opposition candidates as well. Not one even responded.
Yeah.
Not one. So it's like, well, why would they not do that? I mean, heck, they're entrenched there. They're the incumbents. Why would they not want to come in and, you know, tell their story? What are they afraid of? And we give them the time to do that. You know, here you go. Just talk. We're not going to attack. We never do. We never have. I mean, we might ask a question that they might feel uncomfortable about, and that's the kicker right there. Every single time they get a little bit scared that we might ask them a tough question. But they're not tough questions. It's just that we deserve the truth, and that's all we want. We want the truth.
Well, and, you know, we had other good candidates, you know, running this time that were out there that were just good, solid people. Brian Caples for superintendent of schools. You know, I thought he did a great job and gave people a choice, mm-hmm. you know. And then when you even, you know, no matter what happens with the numbers, you'll see that, you know, out of the number of people that voted, they got a lot of votes.
Yeah.
You know, they were over the 40% mark, which really shows that people were listening and paying attention, and whether they got over the hump and got over 50% or not. But most, they got a lot of votes.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the time when you run up against an incumbent, you get like 9 or 10%.
Yeah.
You know, not 40.
Right.
Not 42. So when you see those kinds of numbers, that shows that we've got some problems there, you know.
And that goes back to when Bisinko and Green were running.
Right.
You know, look how tight that race was.
Huh.
I mean, just minor points separated them.
Yeah, I never understood that. I mean, the status quo hadn't changed. Mm-mm. And all the people that were now behind Johnson weren't behind Green, who were behind Green before, but the status quo hadn't changed. Green was still the same guy.
He was still retired. Yep, he was retired.
You know, and you wonder about a lot of this stuff. Well, we only have about 3 minutes left, and I do want to reiterate, folks, that we have all 3 hours today devoted to this subject, and Sovereign Mind starts here in about 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, and they're going to have author and Katie Gorman on, both of which were observers and have some interesting stories to tell, which leads us into more of this stuff as far as the transparency, the honesty. And Patrick, you made a great statement when you said, I just want to know that when I vote and I see something, that the person really did win, that the person that runs for office is someone that one legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes. Take it away, brother.
Yeah, you know, and I just, you know, it's just a gut feeling. You know, you always have these feelings. And again, I've ran many races, and in this particular one, watching all these candidates and watching most of the debates and watching what they've done and the issues that have come up, you just have a gut feeling. And the times that I ran on council, I knew the times I was gonna lose, and maybe not my first one, because you don't really know what's going on the first one. But then once you start analyzing and you know, comparing what you did with the knowledge of your opponent, you kind of knew when you were going to win and when you weren't. And you know, and so for me, all I knew is if I worked hard, put the information out the best I could, then I could live with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I would be happy with that. And whether I won or not, as long as I did my very best and got information out, then I would feel good with that. And I know all of our candidates did that.
Yeah.
All these non-establishment, I call them my candidates, but they're not my candidates. They're just guys that I've come to respect,
mm-hmm.
Met along the way. I've watched them. And, you know, they're just good, solid people. We're really lucky to have them here. They were really good candidates, and it was a joy to watch them. And I wish them all the success, and, of course, more races to come.
So, again, we should have final results by next Friday. Is that the story?
Well, I think you'll have a pretty clear picture by at least next Friday. I think 99% of the votes will be in, so most of everything will be accomplished.
Okay. That's amazing. It takes, you know, 10, 11 days to get results on a local on an election like that, when they already established who won for, you know, for governor candidacy and all that other stuff, but we can't get it dialed in here. It blows my mind. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I honestly do not understand it.
I propose something out there. We at the Registrar of Voters office, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was some of the employees there that were feeling intimidated
from people on the outside, meaning the, you know, the citizen observers, different people. And I propose just people out there listening and coming into the next 2 hours, think about this. If, in fact, they had done their job and just simply said, yes, you can observe, yes, we'll tape the door, these people weren't being aggressive, not mean or any of that, but that's the way the news portrayed it,
right? Exactly.
And it's like they just wanted truth, transparency.
So with that,
that's all we want.
Yep, that's the truth.
Amen.
Can you handle the truth? Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.